Okay. Can you hear me? Is that all right? Great. Okay. I went to watch Mamma Mia a couple of nights ago. Who's seen Mamma Mia? Great movie, isn't it? I got challenged two nights ago to include an ABBA song in my preach this morning somewhere. But PK, I've looked through the material and I just can't see where it's going to happen. He said, I want you to include Super Trooper. I was like, where am I going to put that? All right. Anyway, so it's not going to happen this time. Maybe some other time. Okay. I want to start with by doing a survey, okay? A quick survey, show of hands survey. And the survey I want to do is whether you would naturally call yourself a hoarder, okay? So you like to keep things stuffed away. Everything you get, you keep. Or whether you would naturally call yourself a chucker, okay? You chuck stuff away. So we're going to do a quick show of hands, okay? So kids, are you ready? Okay, if you are naturally a hoarder, put your hands up for me, please. You keep everything you've got and you've stashed it away, okay? Great, thank you. If you're naturally a chucker, okay, good. It's got half a half. It's interesting. My mum is naturally a hoarder, so if you go up into her loft, you can find pretty much anything you like. My dad is naturally a chucker, which proves to, you know, kind of good marital interesting scenarios take place. My dad is so much of a chucker, actually, that once, not long after my parents were married, he chucked away the Sunday meat, because it was in a carrier bag, for their Sunday lunch. He thought it was rubbish, so just chucked this joint of meat out. And even more recently, he's been so extravagant in his chucking away that he actually threw away his own false teeth. Yes. And the interesting thing is that it causes really interesting misunderstandings. My mum doesn't understand my dad chucking stuff away. He thinks he's being really wasteful. And this morning, I want to talk to you about a woman in the Bible who people thought was being ridiculously wasteful in throwing stuff away. And so I've asked a good friend of mine, Kirsty, who's back visiting, to come and read the story to us this morning. So, Kirsty, here you go. Woo! Good to see you. Yeah, that's on.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as the keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me.
Thanks, Kirsty. That's great. Okay, so picture the scene with me, if you will. Jesus is at a dinner party, arranged in his honour, and he's reclining at the table. So I've asked PK to be Jesus for us. You need to recline on the floor over there, if you could. If you could put your feet this way. Lovely. Take your shoes off. Nice. Reclining. Okay. So Jesus is reclining at the table, dinner party, and a woman called Mary approaches him and pours ointments over his feet and then washes or dries his feet with her hair. Now, what we really need to understand here is that the ointment she used wasn't just like any old pot of cream she found in the bottom of her handbag. This was really, really expensive stuff. It was so expensive, in fact, that we're told that it was worth about a year's worth of wages. This is crazy, this kind of sacrifice she's made. Now, if you think about it for a minute, the average wage, yearly wage in our day and age is about £26,000, okay? So I wish it was in here, but it's not. This is just representing. £26,000, okay? So can you imagine having £26,000 in your hands and then blowing it all on one person at one moment and not keeping anything back for yourself? Now, when I think about that, it makes me feel a bit sick, to be honest, because I'm like, £26,000, that would be a really lovely deposit on a house. I'd probably keep 24,000 of it for myself, maybe give away a couple of grand, you know, that kind of thing. This was an incredibly extravagant act of worship and sacrifice that Mary performed. And kids, I'm aware that you might not be able to get in your heads what £26,000 like, so I've got another little illustration for you. This is a bin of sweets, okay? Can I have a volunteer, child? What's your name, sir? Huh? Come here, Luke. Okay, Luke. Nice to meet you. Have you ever seen this many sweets before in one bucket?
Nope.
What if I said you could have them all? How would you feel about that? It's quite good stuff in there.
I'd take them and share them.
Would you share them? Oh, well, you're very good. Listen. Basically, Mary, what she did, kids, she's like she had this massive, great big bucket of sweets that she could have eaten all herself, okay? But instead, you need to go and tip them on his feet. She went to Jesus, okay, and she poured the sweets all over his feet. If you can do that, just pour them all out. Did he just take one for himself? No. Good try, buddy. All of them. Thank you, Luke. Off you go, mate. Sneaky. That's a good idea. So the sacrifice she made was incredible. Thank you, Pika. You can just pop up there. Please don't eat any of the sweets. Okay, so that's what happened, okay? She poured out £26,000 worth of ointment on Jesus' feet in one act of sacrifice. What had got into Mary is the question I'm asking. Why on earth did she do that? The disciples didn't get it. They had a go at her. They didn't understand what was happening in this exchange. They were like, surely you could have sold the ointment and given the money to the poor. Surely that would have been a better thing to do. What benefit has it been chucking it all out on Jesus' feet? What Mary did was extreme, and she must have known that there would have been people coming with criticism of what on earth are you doing. She must have known there'd be misunderstanding. And yet what we see is that she was intent on one thing and one thing only, and that was giving everything to Jesus. Now, before I became a Christian, I lived my life for me and me alone. I was very good at being selfish. Still am quite good at it. But I was very good at it. It was all about me and what I needed and what I wanted. But when I became a Christian about 12 years ago, that all changed. Because what I did is I gave my life to Jesus and made him the most important person in my life. And I can honestly stand here and say that is true. Jesus is the most important person in my life. And I've given myself to him for the rest of my life. And because of how much I love Jesus, it changes how I behave. Okay, so I have changed the way I behave and do stuff because of how much I love Jesus and what he's done for me. And the interesting thing is that I have also, like Mary, received misunderstanding and ridicule for those decisions I've made. So I've had friends who've said, okay, you're being a bit extreme, aren't you? I mean, you can kind of believe in Jesus, but surely you can still come out with me on a Saturday night and have a little bit of a laugh and have a drink and get off with that guy and that guy. Surely there's something, there's some leeway here. You're being a little bit extreme, Wendy. That's the kind of response I've had. But what I've learned is that when you're in a relationship with Jesus and when you really know how much he loves you, there's no option. There really is no option to be half-hearted and to be in this camp one day and this camp the other day. It really is about giving everything to him. Mary knew that she couldn't follow Jesus and hold stuff back, hold a few £1,000 back. She had to give it all. And I've learned that too, that actually Jesus is worth giving everything for. Let me tell you this morning, if you're not in a relationship with Jesus, if you don't know God, I want to tell you that he is real, that he is here with us right now, and that he changes lives, and it's the most incredible relationship you could ever be a part of to come to know him. And if you don't believe me, you can ask the three people getting baptized. You've heard how Jesus has really impacted their hearts and changed their lives and brought freedom and healing to them. People sometimes ask me how I can be so into God. And in all honesty, I wonder how anybody couldn't be. That's my response. And I believe maybe there are some of you here this morning, as I'm talking about my relationship with Jesus, you're like, I've never heard anything like that before. I've never heard anyone speak about God like that before, talk about that kind of relationship before. Well, just want to say that a relationship is open to you this morning. At the end of the talk this morning, I want to give you guys an opportunity to come into that relationship and come to know Jesus as your friend and as your Savior. It's the most incredible relationship you can have. So we'll do that at the end. But before I finish this morning, I want to just have a little glance at what it is that drove Mary to make such a crazy, ridiculous sacrifice to Jesus that day. What is it that literally led her to give everything to him in one act of sacrifice and worship? And I think the answer comes a few chapters before where we've just read, okay? So basically, this is what I think's happened. In John chapter 11, we're told that Mary's brother Lazarus is dead. So I need another volunteer, a boy preferably, please, who's good at acting dead. Yeah, come on, Elijah. Run up. Quick. Okay, here's your grave. You're dead. Can you lay on your back, please? And just don't say anything, basically, because you're dead. There you go. Brilliant. Okay, good. So, we learn that Lazarus was dead, okay? He'd been really sick, and the sickness had taken his life. And so he'd been wrapped in grave clothes, put in a grave, in a tomb, and a massive boulder had been put in front of it. But hang on a minute. The very astute among you will be thinking, but Wendy, didn't we just read that Lazarus was at the dinner party with Jesus, eating with him? Some of you had missed that, hadn't you? Lazarus was at the dinner party eating with Jesus. What had happened between Lazarus dying and then eating with Jesus at the dinner party? Well, this is what happened. Jesus had happened. 4 days after Lazarus had died, Jesus had come along, requested that the boulder be moved away from the tomb, and then called out to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come out." Okay, so we're going to shout that. Okay, we're going to be like Jesus right now. So after three, you're going to shout out, "Lazarus, come out." Okay, ready? Ready? Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Lazarus, come out.
Okay, that's not going to work. Okay, we need a bit louder than that. You're still dead, okay? This time you're going to wake up. Okay, so let's try it once more, a bit louder, okay? Dead people can't hear so well, so a bit louder, okay? 1, 2, 3.
Lazarus, come out.
That's brilliant. And then what happened was Lazarus rose again from the dead. Your job here is done, my friend. Rose again from the dead. And Mary was there, okay? Mary saw this. One minute her brother had been dead. Next minute, Jesus comes along. He's alive. I mean, how crazy must that have been? I think that explains something of why she would be willing to sacrifice everything to Jesus. He's just renewed her brother to life. He's brought him back to life. The Bible tells us in John 10, verse 10, that Jesus came to give us life in all its fullness. And like Mary, we have got so much to be thankful for. If you're not a Christian here this morning, the Bible describes you as being dead in your sin. Okay, so although you're not physically dead, something spiritually inside you is dead and separated from God. You see, what sin does in our lives is it separates us from the Father. It creates a barrier between us and the relationship with God we've been created for. And you might sit here this morning and think, well, actually, Wendy, I'm actually quite a good person. I've lived a pretty good life. I don't do anything really, really bad. You know, I'm pretty good. But and the reality is I would have felt exactly the same before I became a Christian. I thought I was a good person. I thought I lived a good life. But what I realized is the standard God sets for us and for me is perfection. Okay, it's way, way up here. And I know for me and for you here, guys, it's not possible to be perfect in how we live. We all mess up. We all think things we regret and say things we regret and do things that we regret. The sin in our lives separates us from the relationship with God we're created for. And so we're spiritually dead. So before I became a Christian, I was spiritually dead. Eden Taylor, come here and be me. She's going to represent me in the grave again. Okay, if you can lay down the same, that would be awesome. Okay, so this is me. Before I became a Christian, I was spiritually dead. Okay, if you told me that at the time, I would have laughed in your face. I would have said, feel my pulse, check my breath, I'm actually alive. I didn't realise how dead I was until I actually was brought back to life by Jesus. That's the way it happens, actually. You don't realise how much you need him until you know him. And so, when Jesus died on the cross, what happened was all of my mess and all of your mess was placed on him, and he took all of our mess and all the punishment we should be getting for that mess, And Jesus, who was perfect and who had reached the standard that God set, took all of our mess. And when he died and rose again, he made it possible for us to be forgiven and therefore reach this standard of perfection. When God looks at us, if you've given your life to Jesus, he sees perfection. And so we can come back into the relationship with God we've been created for. About 12 years ago, Jesus came to me, rolled the boulder away, and said, "Wendy, come out." Okay, we're just going to try and see if it works, okay? Just once more time. This time, not Lazarus. Wendy, come out, okay? Ready after three? One, two, three.
Wendy!
You are really good. Well done. What happened was... Thank you. Yes! I came out. Thank you, Chip. That's brilliant. What happened was something inside me woke up. In all honesty, I can't explain it. Don't know how to put words to it, but I felt different. When Jesus came to me and called me out, I woke up inside and... I'm a new person because of it. These truths help to explain why when we baptize people in a minute down at the other end, we take them all the way back down into the water before then bringing them up, okay, hopefully with not too long in between those two actions. As we take them back down, it's like symbolizing them dying to their old way of life, and as we bring them back up, it's like them being cleaned and cleansed, living the new life with Jesus at the center. And the amazing thing is that the fullness of life God offers us isn't just about us having a relationship with him, although that would be enough. There's so much other stuff involved as well. There's so much other stuff that God gives us and brings us in our lives when we give our lives to him. What other stuff can you expect? Well, there's loads of things, but just a few things here. You can expect peace, even in situations that are really difficult. You can expect joy even in the midst of suffering because God is good and he's in charge of what's going on. You can expect freedom from addictions and other stuff that holds you back. You can expect a whole host of stuff. And even as PK brought the word in worship this morning, I really felt like to say that there might be some people here thinking, but Wendy, you don't know my circumstance. Surely God cannot break through this situation, cannot bring healing to this situation. I feel God says, yes, he can. He is the answer to every situation you're in, every struggle you're having. Jesus is the answer. You can also expect physical healing. Okay, we've been going after healing, as I said, for about a year and a half. We've seen incredible stuff happen. We've seen shoulders healed, necks healed, backs healed, tinnitus healed. We've seen two couples struggling to have babies now with children. Okay, I prayed for one girl once and her leg grew in my hands. I went to a Christian Union at Mark Rutherford, and a girl there had a lower back problem. And I said, "Have you got one leg shorter than the other?" She said, "Yeah, I do actually, about an inch shorter." I said, "Okay, great, let's sit down." So sat her down, grabbed her feet. Sure enough, one of her feet was about an inch shorter than the other foot. So okay, so we prayed. And as I turned around, I said, "Come on, guys, come and pray for your friend to get healed." As I looked back, she'd already been healed. Her feet were completely even. The funny thing was that she was wearing stripy socks. And so you could tell that it was even because the stripes all now lined up in her socks. It's the most incredible thing. God is breaking in with healing. Okay, and we're expecting to see more. I don't know if you guys know that. We're expecting to see deaf ears open, blind eyes open, cancer healed, the dead raised. We're expecting to see more because God is a God who wants to bring life in all its fullness. And healing is part of that. Okay. It's not just physical healing, though. There's also emotional healing God brings. Okay, we've seen people set free from depression, people set free from fear. In my own personal life, I've had incredible healing when it's come to emotional stuff that's been difficult. So just a year and a half ago, I had a very big operation to remove a cyst from one of my ovaries, and it was incredibly traumatic for me, and I actually felt really abandoned by God in it. And since then, I've had times of really crying and processing, God breaking in. And now I know God was there with me and doing incredible stuff. And it all worked out fine, and that was because God was with me. But it's emotional healing that he's brought to my heart. I'm going to finish here. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he called him to come out of the grave. Now, Jesus is here this morning calling those of you who don't yet know him to come out and into a relationship with him for the first time. His promise to you when you do that is life in all its fullness. It's the kind of life that would lead you to pour £26,000 or a big bucket of sweets out on Jesus' feet. Mary knew it, and so do I. Jesus is so worth wasting your life on? Can we stand together, guys? Is that all right? Let's just focus on Jesus. John, if you could come back and play for us, that would be great. Just start strumming in the background. Okay, guys, can we just focus on Jesus? I'm just going to pray for us. John's just going to play in the background for a bit. Oh, Jesus, thank you. We just want to say we love you. You're so good to us, God. So worthy of our whole lives. So worthy of us giving everything to you. God, you're so good. You break in into every circumstance, every situation. You're the one. You're the answer, God. You alone are the answer. We could run and try and find answers elsewhere, but we won't. You are the only answer, God. We love you so much. Can I just ask everyone to close their eyes, focus on him? I just want to give an opportunity now to anybody who hasn't come into a relationship with Jesus before. And you know that as I've been speaking, you've been like, gosh, I see something in that. I see something going on there that I don't know. And I really want to make a decision to come into a relationship with Jesus today. I know that I've messed up, but I know that Jesus can forgive me. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, in a minute I'm going to ask you just to put your hand up and people are going to come to you and pray and help you and support you before we go down to the baptisms. There also might be those of you here this morning who, you know, as I've been speaking, that actually you haven't been pouring out everything. You've been holding some stuff back for yourself. And there's something about having not given everything to Jesus. You might have made a commitment a while ago, but you know that actually you haven't been living the life, and you really want to come back and say, Jesus, everything I have, everything I am, it's all for you now. So I'm just going to ask, as every eye is closed right now, that those of you who want to give your life to Jesus now, you want to come into a relationship with him, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so I can see you and then we can pray for you. If you want to know forgiveness for everything that you've made mistakes in, or you want to know relationship with him, do you want to put your hands up for me? Just raise it really high so I can see you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's one. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Anybody else? I'm just going to give you a bit of time. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else who wants to give their life to Jesus? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? God is the answer to your situation. Anyone here who wants to acknowledge that you haven't been giving everything and pouring everything out for God and you want to do that today, if you want to recommit, I suppose, recommit your life and say, actually, yeah, I want to live this life, I want to give everything, pour everything out. If you want to raise your hand right now, we're going to get some people to come pray for you. Is there anybody? Thank you, Jesus. Well, listen, we're going to have some people at the back by the piano. If anyone wants to come and respond while we sing this next song, we'll be there for you. But we're going to worship one more song before we head back down to the swimming pool. If you want to respond, do make your way back to the piano. We'd love to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus.